We're still at the part in Luke where Jesus is on the road. He's been on the road from Luke 9 through Luke 19. And he's traveling from Galilee up in the north. And he's crossed over. The Samaritans didn't want him to come straight. He crossed over the Jordan. Then he went down. Now he's coming up the road to Jericho. And today's portion, he will get to Jericho. Later, he will get all the way to Jerusalem. And then in that section, it will begin Palm Sunday, where there's a parade into Jerusalem. Right now, he's still on the path to Jericho. He's going to meet some people there. He'd already met some blind people. Mark names one as Bartimaeus. Again, people in the Gospels that are named probably were testimonies that Jesus had healed them in the early churches. And that the books of the Gospels are written so early that people still knew Bartimaeus, and he was still alive, and he was still testifying that Jesus healed him at Jericho while he was blind. On the road, he had just talked to a rich young ruler. And he told the rich young ruler to give away everything and come follow me. Now we should not think that the rich young ruler would be saved by giving away money. That's not what it would save. It would not be salvation by works. He would give away money. Rather, there are situations whereby something is in the way of believing in Jesus. Some special sin, some special activity is preventing faith in Jesus. So it's not that he would be saved by giving away money, but the money was keeping him from trusting in Jesus. And so that was a hindrance, a block. And Jesus says to turn away from that and come follow me. Well, he didn't want anything to do with it. So he said to him, said the disciples, that it's not likely for rich people to get saved. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to be saved. And they thought, well, that won't happen to anybody. He says things that are impossible with humans are possible with God. And so we come to the very next story of Zacchaeus in Luke 19. And Zacchaeus is a rich person who will be saved, because God can do such things. And Zacchaeus is put in here opposite the rich young ruler. Rich young ruler, come to me. I'm not going to. I'm going to covet the money first. I'd like to go to heaven, but I'm not going to come to you. I'm going to let things stop it. Zacchaeus will be the opposite. He is a humanly impossible, a rich person who does get saved. And everybody that's a little kid in Sunday school knows about Zacchaeus. And he does come to Jesus. He gives away his money after believing. So that's like a demonstration of faith rather than something to do to get saved. But Zacchaeus is deliberately the opposite of the rich young ruler. Come and follow me, rich young ruler. Nope. To Zacchaeus, he was eager to find Jesus. He was eager to receive, I keep using that word on purpose, he was eager to welcome Jesus. So let's read the first four verses about the Zacchaeus story. Luke 19, 1 through 4. He entered Jericho and was passing through. That blind people healed in the previous section. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. Zacchaeus means pure, righteous, just one. So Mom and Dad named him that. So far it hadn't worked out, but the story wasn't over with yet. That he'll want to make up for his wrongs, and he'll want to be righteous in the end. Jericho would be perhaps the oldest inhabited city in the world. It's either Jericho or Damascus. Now, true, Jericho was, walls fell down and nobody lived there for a little while, but soon houses and tents were put up there. There is an oasis there. So that's kind of where they would stop anyway. Now, the walls were not built up for a long time later, but by Jesus' time, it's right there and, good place for a tax office because he's going to stay with Zacchaeus for the night, and it's a good place to stop for the night. There were all kinds of inns around there, and he was the chief tax collector. In other words, he had people working for him. So, putting the Gospels together, there was a blind beggar there, and Jesus talks about children, you have to come to me like children. Well, it could be Zacchaeus was acting like a kid in some ways. Zacchaeus is climbing a tree. That sounds like what kids would like to do. So he's going to be a case of the impossible rich man coming to Jesus, and he's going to be a case of kind of acting like a little bit of a kid. Those watching Jesus had cheered when the blind people were healed, so noise is coming. Noise is coming. Must be Jesus is coming. And in the pre-video days, Zacchaeus had no idea which one of those people coming were Jesus, had no idea what he looked like. So he wouldn't recognize him, so he climbs up into a sycamore tree. My farm uncle knew all the different trees, and I remember him pointing out there was a sycamore tree at our Bible church lawn in Michigan. I, at one point in life, could tell you all the trees. I no longer can do so. That's kind of what's happening. But sycamore trees had figs. That's in the book of Amos where it says that he tended sycamore trees and made figs. Zacchaeus climbs up in these. Now, there's a footnote in one of our study Bibles that they can be 30 feet tall. That's tall. I don't know how far up he went, but could be quite tall to look down the road. Says he was short. Well, we don't know what that definition of that is. They were in ancient times shorter than we are now. I mean, they're not all midgets, but they were shorter. We eat more. So, we tend to grow a little bit, but they might have been 5'8", a whole lot of them, some of them taller. Short, whatever the definition of short is, 5 feet, something or other. He was too little to see Jesus. Now, the rich young ruler, he is not going to get any impediment from following Jesus. He's going to love his money first. He's not going to come to Jesus. Zacharias was already in a hurry. And he's going to look for Jesus. It's going to start with him. He's going to seek him. He wanted to see Jesus. A good place, again, for attacks. Not only all these people coming in and all these inns, many caravans. Jesus will spend the night there, which a lot of people had to. I mean, there was an oasis way back in Elisha's day. So when we look at 2 Kings and see Elisha's pool, that's where it was in Jericho. Lots of products coming in, lots of things that can be taxed. Also things going out from that area. We might not think of them, but for one thing, Israel exported lots of dates. Well, I don't know whether we all like dates, but can you imagine a time when there's no sugar? There's no candy bars. There's no sugar. So you want dates and honey. You want all of that you can get. So they exported a lot of dates out of the area of Jericho, a good place for taxes. They also exported a lot of Dead Sea salt, and not all to eat. It was like cosmetics, beauty treatments. Cleopatra tried to seduce Herod to get the cosmetics out of the Dead Sea, is what she was after, and Herod was one of the men that had wanted nothing to do with Cleopatra. Go get lost. But the area around Jericho would export dates, and it would export lots of cosmetics. They also had a sap that came out of trees, balsam, kind of cosmetics, but kind of like cleaning and, you know, moisturizer and all around you. So Jericho is a very good place to have a tax office. Stuff going out, stuff coming in. Then Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector. Again, in Jewish days, tax collectors could not be members of a synagogue. And tax collectors were considered the worst of the worst. I mean, in their opinion, they're all cheats, they're all liars, they're all mean. They would, kind of repetition, but they would give off the tax collecting job to the highest bidder. Whoever would say they will get the most for the Romans, you can try it. And you can have all these people that work under you, and you can be as many as you need to be to get that. Whatever above that, you can keep. Just give the Romans that much, and the rest of it, you can keep. So, you can see the critics are not going to like Jesus having anything to do with the tax collector. Also, I think it does relate to a rich man who does believe, which with humans is impossible, with God all things is possible, and also related to acting like a kid. I would like to apply his behavior in this way. He was seeking Jesus. He was seeking help. He was seeking answers. He was seeking forgiveness. Much in the Bible, those who seek will find. Now, he was already rich. He didn't feel right. Some of it was doing the wrong, all the guilty things to get rich, but he sure didn't have anything good on the inside. He didn't have any assurance of salvation. He didn't have any good emotions. And he wanted to seek the truth. He wanted to get that fixed. Seeking help for Jesus for salvation, and then we should seek help from Jesus for everything else past the time we trust in Jesus as Savior. Seek help for Jesus for all of our emotional and relational troubles. Also, in a positive sense, seek help for Jesus for the power to do something with life. The power to do what is right and the power to get something done that matters. Well, seek. I think it's a lot stronger than we would think. Like in making this sermon, I went over to the computer and I did a search for sycamore figs. I wanted to know whether they still sell them. The answer is people eat them, but there's no big commercial business that sells sycamore figs. And that search took 30 seconds. So when you think of searching now, it's not quite the same as those days. The word actually means to pursue, to really try. Now let's imagine a day when there's no phone and you can't call somebody ahead of time and say, I'm on my way over. And you get to their house, but there's no one home. What happened to them? I mean, are they dead? Are they gone off on a trip? Did they move? And we didn't know they moved? And so the person visiting them would seek for that person. More strenuous seeking than the way we would think of seeking. We have it a lot easier. So I think in the Bible when it says to seek God, it means to put some effort into it. To really work hard on it. And there are many verses of seeking God. Moses wrote Deuteronomy. And the context of Deuteronomy is that the people would eventually disobey and they would be off in exile, dragged off. Deuteronomy 4:29. But from the exile, from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you search for him with all your heart and with all your soul. So you see, seeking is a little bit more than doing a search on the internet and seeking a little bit harder than what we often think, thinking of a lost person. Like on the news, a person who's lost, and we are worried about him, and we have to find him. Well, seeking God is, we need to find him. When David was passing the kingship onto Solomon, 1 Chronicles 28:9, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every interest and thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. Well, that's kind of what's going on here. He's telling his son, you're going to be the king and you better search for God. You better find the answers. You better find what he wants you to do. You better find what is right and wrong. You better find out what is true and what is error. And you better work on it hard. And we have in the Bible, seek and find, but we also have in the Bible, forsake and be rejected. Zacchaeus is going to seek and find. There are some that are going to forsake and not seek God at all. And then it says, if you reject him, he will forsake you. So it's such a thing as having no interest in God at all, and after a while, God quits. So Zacharias was very eager. 2 Chronicles 15:2, if you seek him, he will let you find him. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. Lots of Psalms, Psalm 34:10, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So we seek the Lord by trusting in Jesus as Savior, and then we seek to find answers of what is true and what is not true, what is right, what is wrong, and what does God want us to do. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So there could be, there are time limits to it. There could be that God offers help to people of the world that are unsaved, but he offers help after a certain while he withdraws. You know, because the seeking in the Bible is working hard at it. Relative to searching for salvation, of course, the main limit is a person dies without trusting Jesus as Savior. So that's the main time limit. There are cases where people, where God gives up on people before then. We can't pick them out. But an unsaved person might want to worry about it a little bit because it'd be like Pharaoh in the time of the Exodus. Pharaoh hardened his own heart, and after a while, God said, that's it, and God hardened his heart. So, seek the Lord while he may be found. As far as a person trusting in Jesus as Savior, I mean, the limit is when they're out of this life, but could be before then. I always think of a movie I saw when I was a kid, and it was called God's Final Call. And it was a movie about the days before I was a kid. But it was an Air Force pilot who had given the gospel to all kinds of his workers, all kinds of people in the Air Force. Then they all went off in a war, and they all got shot down. And the movie was about, well, he's kind of glad he witnessed to them. He doesn't know what happened. Because evidently, when he witnessed to them, that was the last time they would hear it. So it was God's final call, although they didn't know the answer to it. He hopes they trusted in Jesus as Savior. Now, I just read a lot of verses, the seek the Lord and he will be found. There's lots of negative verses. If a person doesn't seek the Lord, Ezekiel 7:26, disaster will come upon disaster. Then they will seek a revelation from the prophet. But the law will be lost from the priest and counsel from the elder. It's not a well-known verse over in Ezekiel, but it's kind of interesting. The religious teacher, the prophet, doesn't know anything. The priest, that's the worship leader on a Sunday, doesn't know anything. The politicians or the elders, they don't know anything because they have rejected the word of God. And the warning in Ezekiel 7:26 is reject, reject, reject. Hosea 5:6, they will go forth like a flock and a herd to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn from them. Kind of a warning. You know, seek just the Savior now. Trust in him before it's too late. Seek the truth now. Thinking of the public, thinking of society, God is saying, seek it now. Amos 8, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, and I will send famine on the land. Not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but rather for the hearing of the word of God. So, seek the Lord while he may be found. Time limits. Zacchaeus is eager. Zacchaeus wanted to find Jesus. He wanted help, wanted the answer. And sometimes the way we do things comes back. I think of Psalm 18 a lot. It's kind of like the way we say it in modern English, what goes around comes around. And it uses the Hebrew word crooked. If you are crooked, you will find out that God is crooked. But that has a negative connotation, but let's say it this way. If you're a trickster, God will out-trick you. So be a trickster. A person doesn't seek God, doesn't want to come, doesn't want any answers. Well, won't out-trick God. He in the end will be done. Call upon him while he is near. And Zacchaeus was, of course, doing that. Couple of other seek verses, and then we'll move on to the Zacchaeus story, but it is time to seek the Lord. Isaiah 10:12. Years ago at a Christian camp, that was the question and the answer all week long. He did it on purpose. What time is it? It's time to seek the Lord. The pastors and the teachers are running around. What time is it? It's time to seek the Lord. Isaiah 10:12. Now is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Well, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to come that way. And next, verse 5, Jesus comes to him. Verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Jesus had already said that, if you seek the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you. He's already said, seek and you shall find. And those who seek him early will find me. Proverbs 8:17. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Then Jesus came to him. He stopped and looked up. And it wasn't going to be a 10-minute talk. It was going to be, I think I'll stay at your hotel tonight. Lots of other places in town, but I'll stay at your hotel. We will talk for the next umpteen hours. So, Zacchaeus' response is he received him. I do believe that's the time of saving faith. The word receive in the original means welcome. That makes sense. Our scripture reading was John 1:12, but as many as received him, but as many as welcomed him to be the Savior, they are the children of God. So let's read about the receiving or welcome of Zacchaeus 6 and 7 of Luke 19. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Zacchaeus was coming to Jesus, and Jesus came to him. The rich young ruler would not come to Jesus. He wouldn't have been saved by giving away his money. We're not saved by works, but it was his idol. And it was keeping him from trusting in Jesus. What if Jesus says he's the commander of my money? I can't have that. So come follow me. Nope. Here's the rich young ruler. Jesus says, with God, all things are possible, even rich people. So here's Zacchaeus. He wanted help. And when he gave away his money, I believe he's already saved. That's a demonstration that he believes in Jesus. It's a demonstration that he will do what Jesus wants. And so the giving away money was not a barrier to faith. He already believed, but now that he believed, he wanted to do what is right. Zacchaeus admitted he was a sinner, and Zacchaeus was glad to find Jesus. And I'll give kind of a funny story, but he had big fights with a person that said, you have to be miserable to be saved. And he would actually say that if a person didn't really weep and wail and cry at the time of their salvation, it wasn't real faith. It was a lie. Well, you never know what you're going to get into, but at the time I just gave a Handel's Messiah illustration. I said, what if at Christmas they're singing about Jesus and a person trusts in Jesus and the person is happy with all the music? You know, hallelujah, Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth, and they trust in Jesus, and they're happy. Well, that didn't work. I didn't think at the time about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wasn't miserable. Faith saves, and the emotion at the time of faith can go one way or the other. There can be people crying about guilt when they trust in Jesus, but there can be people that trust in Jesus and are happy. Here's one. So I don't know what you do with that idea that you have to be miserable. Christian living was also misery to this person. That's godly Christian living if you're miserable all the time. I don't think so. You have to feel guilty and confess those sins, but after that, I don't think God wants us miserable 24/7 all the time. Yeah. Now we go on to the story in verses 8 and following. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have deferred anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son, a spiritual son of Abraham, not just racially descended or ethnically descended. Now, in the Bible, if a person stole livestock and the livestock was gone, they had to give back four times. That's the most. Actually, in the Old Testament, it was 20% if they stole money. So it's kind of like Zacchaeus is saying, I'm going to do the most if I've stolen anything. And Zacchaeus hadn't given any charity forever. Don't know how old he was, but forever. So he will first give back anything that he cheated people, and then he will give half of his money. And so what you have here is it demonstrates faith. He trusted in Jesus. He received. He welcomed Jesus. And then there was the change. He's not saved by giving away money. He's saved by faith. And then the result was this. And now verse 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. There is in the Bible, unsaved condition described as dead, but the definition of death in the Bible doesn't mean that they don't exist. We're all made in the image of God, and everybody exists forever. So death doesn't mean doesn't exist. Death means separation. And it's a lot like the category of lost. If a person dies, without Jesus as Savior, they're separated from God. And in that sense, they're lost, and we have had the lost sheep in Luke's stories. We have a lost coin where the woman looks for it. We had a lost son where to come to the Father. And all who don't trust in Jesus as Savior, they're separated, lost. And Jesus wants to find every last one of them. Everybody who would ever believe will believe, and he will catch every one. So Zacchaeus had money, but he had needs. And the money didn't fix his spiritual needs. He was seeking for help. He was seeking Jesus. He was saved when he welcomed him or received him. And then after that, it's all his good works. He illustrates, perhaps like a child, climbing up into a tree, you know, welcoming Jesus like a child. And he illustrates the opposite of the rich young ruler who would not believe in Jesus. The money kept him from believing in Jesus. If I believe in Jesus, he might tell me what to do with this money. So I'm not going to believe in Jesus. He would not come. Zacchaeus would come. The musicians, please come.